This saying that his blood was shed for man is not true. He never said it, neither did he say drink the wine, being his blood, in remembrance of him, for the wine is not his blood, and neither does it represent anything that has to do with him or his mission on earth, or his present work in the spirit world. How unfortunate that this saying is made to represent something that he did not say. So, in order to understand the real truths of God and man's relationship to him and his plan of salvation, you must believe what the Master shall write you and what his apostles may write, for now they understand what his true mission was, and what he attempted and intended to teach when on earth, and what he is teaching now. I also will write sometimes and give you the result of my instructions and knowledge as I received them since being here. I will not write more tonight. Your brother in Christ, Martin Luther. I will write a little as I am interested in what you have received from Luther tonight, and as I am supposed to have written the Gospel of Luke, I desire to say a few things in reference to the correctness or other incorrectness of many things contained in my Gospel. As you infer, I am Saint Luke, the writer of the third Gospel and a follower of Jesus. My Gospel was not founded on anything I had personal knowledge of, but upon the writings of others and the traditions which were the common knowledge of many Christians at that time. I knew several of the apostles and obtained much of my information from them, as well as from many of the Christians who were members of the congregations to which these apostles preached and expounded the sayings of Jesus. In my Gospel, as now contained in the authorized version, there are many things that have been interpolated. This version was not based on what I wrote, but upon pretended copies of my writings, and the persons who made these copies did not follow literally my writings, but added to my text and gave their own interpretations of what I had written in such a way as to destroy the true meaning of what was intended to be conveyed by my writings. There are many truths contained in the Gospel as now written in the Bible, and they are the truths of God, but there are also many errors which contradict these truths. For instance, I never wrote 200, that Jesus commanded his disciples to believe that the wine was his blood or the bread his body, and to eat and drink these things in remembrance of him. How this interpolation could have been made I do not know, but will observe that the same things are said in all the four Gospels, and this saying must have been derived from a common source, and that must have been the minds of those who pretended to copy the Gospels. I tell you now that this saying, that the blood of Jesus saves from sin, is not true, and if men depend upon this blood for their salvation they will never be saved, but will enter the spirit world in all their sins, and will be surprised to learn that Jesus is not waiting to receive them in his arms and carry them to the mansions prepared for the truly redeemed of the sons of men. I know that a vast number of the members of the various churches believe this harmful doctrine, and that as a consequence, many persons claiming to be Christians will realize that their sins have not been forgiven them when they come into the spirit world. Sometime, as these writings continue, I will point out the errors of my Gospel to an extent that will show you the fact of what great additions and misinterpretations have been made thereto. I will stop now. Your brother in Christ, Saint Luke. I will say a word also. I am your own dear grandmother. I came to tell you that I know now that the blood of Jesus does not save from sin. You will remember how, when on earth I believed this doctrine of error, how I used to talk about the precious blood of Jesus being able to save from all sin, and used to sing with all my heart and belief the old hymn, "There is a fountain filled with blood," and so forth. Well, I know now that that belief is all wrong, and that Jesus is so anxious to have men learn that it is a great error and stumbling block to the soul's progression. Of course I know that a vast majority of those now living will never believe that this saying of the Bible is erroneous until they come to the spirit world, but if they only could be taught to throw aside this belief and rely entirely on the divine love for their salvation while on earth, how much easier their progress would be when they come over. So you see, that while many say that a belief does not amount to much, yet I tell you that it, the Paget Messages 1915, causes more unhappiness and retards the progress of spirits to a greater extent than any other one thing. I know that only the divine love of the Father saves from sin and makes mortals at one with him. So in your work for the Master, you will have to make great efforts to cause people to give up this belief in the blood, and turn to the truth of the new birth. Many of the Orthodox, conventional Christians, will oppose your efforts and refuse to believe what you may tell them to be the truth, but many will believe and seek this new birth, and find the peace and happiness of a soul whose sins have been forgiven. I must not write more tonight. I will come again soon and tell you more of the result of your work among the unfortunate spirits who seek your help. So my dear son, I will say good night, your loving grandmother, Anne Rollins. I am here, Jesus. I want you to try and receive a message from me tomorrow night, as I think you will be in condition to do so. I was with you tonight at the Colburns, and heard what you said about the Bible and its writers, and I desire to say that many things in it were not written by my disciples or by those to whom my disciples had delivered the sayings that I made use of while on earth. The text as contained in the present Bible is not a true copy of what I said, or what was in the manuscripts of those who originally wrote, and I am trying to correct the many errors that the Bible contains. Well, the sayings in the epistles and in the Gospels and in Revelation to the effect that my blood saves from sin, were erroneous, and my disciples never wrote that false doctrine, for I repeat here, what I have before written you, that my blood has nothing to do with the redemption of mankind from sin, nor has my blood any effect in uniting man to God or making them one with him. The only thing that works this great result is the new birth, as I have explained it to you. So do not let these sayings of the Bible disturb your belief in what I say now, or in what I may hereafter write. Paul in his epistle did write that blood washes away sins, but he did not know at that time that only the reception of divine love in the souls of men removes sin and all tendency to sin. He has learned better since he came to the spirit world, and sometime he will write you on this subject and correct the great error he made in his epistles. Well, the revelations of John are not true, it is a man-made allegory and it is not just as he wrote it, for it contains many things that are absurd and not in accord with the truths as I shall write them to you. I will also have him come and explain the revelations and tell you what he did not write, as he has been much annoyed by this book of the Bible and its interpretations by the preachers and others. It is nothing but a relation of a vision which he thinks he saw while in a trance, as you mortals say. I mean that the real revelation that he wrote is only the vision of a trance. So let not these things disturb you. I see that you are getting more of the divine love in your soul, and your spiritual eyes will be opened, and your soul perceptions will, before long, see and understand many of the vital truths of God. I will not write more tonight. I love you as my dear brother and disciple, and will not forsake you or permit you to want. All things will be provided for you and the home which you have in mind. I know your thoughts as you walked in the park with reference to a home, and to doing my work, and you will realize your desires in those regards. So with all my love, I am, your brother and friend, Jesus. September 7, 1915. I am here, Aman. Yes, and I want to correct what I wrote before in this. I never was a spirit who wanted to have merely immortality as God was immortal, but I also wanted to obtain the power and wisdom which I saw that God possessed. I thought that if I could obtain these qualities, I would become a God and a co-equal with my Creator, and hence the possessor of all the universe, and of all power and knowledge that he had. My effort to realize my ambition in these particulars was a part of my great sin of disobedience. I thought it best to tell you this so that my description of the great sin of disobedience would not be only a part of the truth. I now know what an insignificant creature I was as compared to the Father, and I also know that the creation of man and me was the highest creation in all the universe of God. But the great mercy and love of the Father, notwithstanding my great sin, has placed me in the position and condition which he promised me at my creation, and which I forfeited with such fatal consequences. You have a privilege which I was 201, the Paget Messages 1915, then deprived of for so many long years, and your happiness may be as great as mine is now without having to wait the long and many years that I waited. No wonder that mankind worships Jesus as God, when he consider the great gift that he brought to them and the way to obtain it. I must not write more. Your brother in Christ, and father in the flesh, Aman. I am here, John. I saw you studying the Bible, or rather those portions of the book which treated the salvation of mankind through the blood of Jesus, and that you made extracts from the revelation, which declared that the blood of Jesus washed away sins of mankind and redeemed them. Well, I want to say that while I wrote a revelation, or rather dictated it to another to write, I never wrote the words declaring the salvation of mankind through the blood of Jesus, which declared that the blood of Jesus washed away sins of mankind and redeemed them, for I did not believe any such doctrine and had never been taught such a belief by Jesus. Much of the matter contained in the revelation I never wrote, but men or scribes who professed to copy the description of my vision, added to it for the purpose of incorporating therein the views of the writers of that early day, so that their views might be emphasized and in union with similar views that had been added to the Gospels and Epistles in the copies which these same persons or their predecessors in these views had made. The revelation is merely a vision which I had when in a trance, and was undoubtedly intended to illustrate or predict those things which would be visited upon the believers and the non-believers in the truths of God as taught by Jesus and his apostles. At the present day, I cannot see that this book can serve any good purpose in making men acquainted with the truths of God, or with the relationship of man to God. Many of the things therein contained are not true as a truth, but were used merely to illustrate a truth. There are no streets of gold or pearly gates or dragons or beasts or white horse or other material things which are depicted in that book, and it is valuable only so far as imagery may show to mankind some spiritual truth. And besides, it has been so embellished and added to, that many of its figures or images do not illustrate any truth, or anything else, but merely serves to give the book the character and appearance of a book of mysteries. So, I advise you, in attempting to search for the truths that the Bible contains, do not waste your time in trying to discover the meanings of the various dark sayings and mysterious descriptions which this book contains. There are enough truths in the Bible, though mixed with many errors, to lead men to the light and to salvation. Love is the great principle, and the fact that God is waiting to bestow that love on mankind, if they will only seek for it, as it is the principle which is sufficient to lead men to the celestial homes and happiness. I'm not an advocate of all the isms which men draw or formulate from the Bible, but on the contrary, deplore and condemn the misconstruction of the truths which it contains, and which men may understand, if they will search for them in humbleness and in the spirit of a little child. But whatever errors may be written in the Bible will be shown by the messages which Jesus shall write to you, and after they are transmitted and made known to mankind, there will be no occasion for men to accept or believe these errors. So, I tell you that while the Bible, even as now written, is a grand old book, yet it is not the true mouthpiece of God in very many particulars, and is a stumbling block to man's acquiring a correct knowledge of the truths of God. These truths will not conflict with the reasoning of the normal man who is not prejudiced by views which are erroneous, either in the scientific or the religious world. A man who believes what is not true is just as much an infidel whether that belief relates to the sciences or to religion. A belief in the false is a want of belief in the true, and, hence, as to the true he is not a believer. I will not write more tonight, so will say good night and God bless you and your work. Your brother in Christ, John. I am here, John the Baptist. I come because I want to encourage you to pray more and to believe. The Father's love is waiting for you to fill your soul to its utmost, and the only things required on your part are prayer and faith. We are all interested in you and want you to get into a condition that will enable you to take the Master's messages as rapidly as possible, for the time is now ripe when they should be given to mankind, and started on their work of redeeming men from false beliefs. And 202, the Paget Messages 1915, Erroneous Doctrines and Dogmas. I, John, tell you this, for I can see that men are longing for the truths of God, such truths as will remove from the teachings of the spiritually guided all superstition and errors, such truths as will accord with the reasoning of men who are not biased by erroneous beliefs either in matters spiritual or material. I tell you that these truths will be easier for the mere materialist to receive and understand, than by those who are bound by the beliefs which the creeds and dogmas of the churches have inculcated. and the acceptance of this new revelation of the truths of God will be by those who have no preconceived ideas of what the nature and relation of man to God, in the spiritual sense, is, rather than by the learned theologian and the simple worshipper at the altars of the churches, who believe whatever may be told them by the priests and preachers. As I was, at one time, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, I am now the voice of many spirits of God, who knows that the Master will teach the truths of his Father, and that these truths must be accepted by mortals on earth, and by spirits in the spirit world in order that they may receive that salvation which the Father has prepared for them, and which, when accepted and realized and possessed, will fit them to become partakers of the happiness and immortality which the Father has promised them. I have written you in this manner tonight, because I want you to realize more fully and deeply the important work which the Master has selected you to do, and also the necessity of continuing this work at the earliest possible moment. Question: I have been interested in the great amount of discussion on that point, and how the belief one way or the other has caused those calling themselves Christians to form distinct sects. If they only knew or would know, that it does not make a particle of difference to their soul's salvation, whether Jesus was immersed or sprinkled, they would not let the bitter feeling arise that frequently does in discussing this matter. But to settle this dispute to the satisfaction of those who may read the book which you may publish and believe in its statements, I will say, that when I baptized Jesus, I went with him into the water and then took the water in my hands and placed it on his head. There was no immersion. As this water was merely symbolical of the washing away of sin and error, and does not actually accomplish the great necessity, in order 203, for men to become one with God, it did not make any difference whether the recipient of baptism was immersed or sprinkled. It is strange that many men who profess to have received the forgiveness of their sins and become reconciled to God should let a trifling thing of this kind cause so much strife and bitter disputations. I will now stop. Your brother in Christ, John the Baptist. I am here, Mary Kennedy. I am so glad for the opportunity to write to my dear soulmate, as it has been a long time since I wrote to him, and told him of my love and happiness. He is dearer to me than ever, and while he cannot hear me tell him so, yet every day I am with him and try to breathe into his ear the expressions of the great love which I have for him. I wish that he had the power to write as you have. For if he had, I believe that I would monopolize all his time in telling him how much I love him, and how I long for the time to come when I can have him all to myself. He, I know, cannot realize what a love like mine is, but thank God in the not far distant future I will be able to enfold him in my arms, and tell him with all the feelings and warmth of my soul how much I love him and how dear he is to me. I am with him nearly all the time, trying to cheer him and make him feel that he is not alone in his struggles in life, and that my love for him is so great, and with and in him all the time. When he prays, I pray with him, and when he is happy I am happy too. But when he is unhappy I am not unhappy but sympathize with him, and exert myself to make him realize the great love that I have for him and that I am near him. His sorrows are only temporary and my love is eternal, and my love means his happiness as well as mine. So tell him to believe with all his heart that his Mary is with him and will be with him in all his times of sorrow and joy, and will try to interpenetrate his soul with her own burning and pure love, which is all his and which can never be given to another. I read his letters, which he writes at night, and for every expression of love which they contain I have a responsive answer, only more intense and more longing. Tell him not to stop writing to me, for I can see what he writes. And tell him also that he must believe that my answers are all that he would have them to be and more too. I must not trespass longer on your indulgence, but only wish to say that I love my dear Leslie with the Paget Messages 1915, all my heart and soul, and will so love him until time and eternity shall be no more. Oh, how I wish that I could have him see me face to face, and hear my voice telling him of my great love, and that he is mine and I am his. So kind friend, I thank you and will give way to your wife to resume. Mary Kennedy. Well, sweetheart, isn't she a dear, loving soulmate? It does me so much good to hear her tell her love to the doctor, and see her eyes and whole being aflame with love to him, Helen. September 9, 1915. I am here, your grandmother. All I know about the origin of the Book of Revelation is what I have heard from John, and he has told me substantially what he has told you, and I believe what he has said. I know that many things in the book are not true, and that its mysteries are not worth attempting to fathom, because they do not contain any spiritual truths. These truths are so plain and so simple that it requires no mysterious statement of them to be made, so that men will hesitate to understand their import. So my advice to you is to receive what the Master may write and believe in what he communicates. What about baptism? Well, baptism is not essential to a man's salvation. It is merely symbolical of the truth of a reuniting with the love of the Father, and when you can receive that love in substance and reality, what is the need of resorting to a mere shadow? I tell you that no baptism or drinking wine and eating bread in remembrance of Jesus is necessary to salvation, and are not even advisable so far as the actual salvation of man is concerned, because many persons when they are baptized believe that is all that is necessary to salvation, and neglect the real development of the soul, and the desire to have the inflowing of the divine love, without which there is no salvation. Have faith and trust in the Master. So with all my love, I am your own loving grandmother, Anne Rollins. September 12, 1915. I am here, Jesus. I was with you tonight and saw that the Spirit was filling your heart with the divine love of the Father and that you realized its presence, and felt that even though the people who worshipped me in their ignorance, yet they have this love of the Father to a great degree. 204. I do not approve of their frequent reference to my blood as saving them from their sins and keeping them in the grace and favor of the Father, for, as I have told you, my blood has nothing to do with the salvation of any soul, only the divine love of the Father saves a soul from sin and makes it one with the Father in his love and divinity. But, nevertheless, these people have this love in their hearts, and while with their intellects they look upon me as God, yet their souls are turning to God, and consequently, they receive the blessings of the Father's love and are receiving to a large extent the development of their souls. I am glad that you attend these meetings, the Church of the Holiness, Washington, D.C., for in them is a wonderful presence of the Spirit and the love of the Father, and while you may not be in sympathy with their doctrines as to who and what saves them from sin and unrighteousness, yet the influence of the Spirit is so great that it helps your soul development. I tried to influence the speakers to tell just what the conditions of their souls were, and what experience they had in receiving and enjoying the divine love, and many of them experience and have as a part of their religious possession just what they said they had. It will be beneficial to you to attend this church, and get the benefit of the presence of the Holy Spirit which is with them in their worship. I was with you and tried to make you feel my presence, and I did, and you felt a little exaltation of your soul qualities and enjoyed the services, especially the singing and the prayers. So, while you must not be influenced by their doctrines as to my being God or to be worshipped, yet if you will ignore this and only consider that their real worship is of God and that their souls are in unison with Him, you will find that these services will do you much good. I am with you very much and am trying to get you relieved from the worries which come to you. I am also trying to help you get in that spiritual condition which is necessary in order for you to take and continue my formal messages. Yes, you are, and I am glad that it is so. I want you to become a man so possessed of this love and of faith, so strong that nothing that you may encounter will swerve you from your convictions and from your work. I see that you are anxious to continue this work and you will soon be able to do so. Yes, I know that the Bible iterates and reiterates the statement that I am God, and that my blood saves from sin and that I am a propitiation for mankind, the Paget Messages 1915, but nevertheless, the Bible is all wrong, and these false doctrines must be corrected and men taught the true plan of salvation. I will be with you very often until we have commenced our work in the way that we desire to carry it forward. Let not anything that you may read in the Bible cause you to have a conception that may not agree with what I shall write. Let your mind be blank on these truths and wait until I shall disclose them to you, and believe me, John never wrote these statements as contained in his epistles and gospel, and he will write to you denying that he did. The Bible contains many truths and many of my sayings, but also, many statements that were never made by me or by the apostles, and my mission now is to correct all these errors. So you see, we have much work ahead of us and we must commence it as soon as possible. I am with you tonight to comfort and encourage you and help you to overcome not only your worries, and if you will only pray to the Father and believe, you will be successful in both particulars. I will not write more tonight as others are here to write, and I desire that they shall do so. Your brother and friend, Jesus. I am here, Jehoshaphat. I was a character in the Old Testament, and I want to say just a word. I am a Christian, and redeemed by the divine love of the Father. I was not a very religious man when I lived and never knew what the love of God was, although you might think from my association with Him as portrayed in the Bible, that I was a righteous man. I was a man possessed of great mediumistic powers, and through me the spirits would communicate those things which they said came from God. But I was not a teacher myself and was not in condition to teach spiritual truths, for I was only a Jew of the Pharisees who had certain intellectual beliefs as to what kind of worship should be given to God, and what men should do otherwise in their dealings with one another. I merely wanted to say this, so that you might know that while we are what you would call ancient spirits, yet we are interested in your work, which the Master has called upon you to do. I will say good night, Jehoshaphat. I am here, John. I do not write Saint John because I am not called by that name in the Spirit. 205, heavens, and I have written you often enough now, that you will identify me when I merely write John. Well, I heard what the Master said, and I can only add thereto, that I never wrote the things which declare that I preach that the blood of Jesus saves from sin, nor that Jesus was a propitiation for the sins of mankind. Neither in my gospel nor in my epistles nor in Revelation did I write such a doctrine. As I have told you before, many things contained in these books were written by others to carry out certain plans and ideas of the writers. I never said that Jesus was God and that He was begotten by the Holy Ghost, or that He is equal with God, or that He saved a man from sin by reason of any personal qualities which he may have had. So let your mind eliminate these false doctrines and receive the truths which the Master shall write with a perfectly unbiased mind, free from all preconceived ideas. I meant that many spirits would try to communicate with man and attempt to teach false doctrines as to Jesus and His mission. That the only spirits who were capable of conveying the truth, and worthy of belief, were those who should acknowledge that Jesus was the Son of God in the way that it has been explained to you. Not that Jesus or Jesus the Christ was God. Only those spirits that acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God and have received the new birth, and know anything about the kingdom of Christ, or of the gift of the divine love of the Father, and the way to obtain it, as taught by Jesus, should be acknowledged. All other spirits who have not this knowledge, and consequently would not acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God, who should hear His teachings, is not to be trusted as being true followers of Jesus. This is nothing mysterious or contrary to the laws governing the conduct or beliefs of men. If a spirit or man either knows nothing about a certain subject, he certainly cannot teach others its qualities or merits, and, hence, I was applying an ordinary law of nature to the way in which spirits should be tried. For I must tell you now, and it is a truth, and was a truth at the time I wrote my gospel and epistles, just as it is a truth now, and always will remain a truth, that every spirit who acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God is a redeemed spirit, and has received a portion of the divine love, and is progressing in the kingdom which Jesus is now forming. And when I gave those instructions to my children, as I called them, I intended that there, the Paget Messages 1915, communications should be only with those spirits or men who had received this new birth. I know that all the spirits who have received this divine love in sufficient abundance are good spirits, free from sin and error and, with the power or inclination to influence mortals not to sin or to do anything which is contrary to the will of the Father, while all the other spirits may or may not exercise upon mortals the influence of evil. Hence, try the spirits, and if they do not acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God, let them alone, and do not receive their communications or teachings, because they are not believers in Christ and the new birth. Among my children, or believers in the Christian religion, were many persons who had the power or gift of communicating with the spirits of the departed, and did so communicate, and such communications were made known to the rest of the congregation and believed by them. And hence, I wrote my injunction against communion with those spirits who were not believers in Christ.